And the natives became aware that they're doing this because they wanna take control of it. All they have to do is run for a council, city council, and they can take control. And the tribal chief there did something about it where the people were discouraged from doing it. Something of this sort will happen for sure here in Alaska. People are really out to get some land. The whole world is overpopulated. I suppose one could say that we're selfish to hold on to such a big land up here. But like Clarence said, we really need land, especially for subsistence. Subsistence to a lot of you young people probably doesn't mean very much. It didn't really mean all that much to me at first, myself. I used to think that I can live okay without subsistence until I got to be this age. My recent trip out to a meeting where I ate only white folks' food, and I find myself with a little trouble with my stomach. So it's, to older people, subsistence food is really a necessity. Not only economical-wise, but also for health-wise. So I'm not sure what's really going to take place 1991. I'm sure it's going to be very exciting. So just hang on to whatever you have. I'm sure things will come out to our benefit.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Larry Peterson, and I've been asked by the Gwich'ajir Corporation to represent the corporation in giving the statement at this hearing. When the land claims was passed December 18, 1971, it was sort of a victory to us. We won a battle, but we did not win the war. We are still fighting for many things which we have seen within the act itself. The act is a very complicated act. And if you had 100 different attorneys in which to read the act and interpret that act, you'd get 100 different opinions. And this is one of the problems we have within it. It was a start for us. It was a foundation in which we had to work with. There were restrictions in there. There were time limitations in there. And we met every one of those restrictions and time limitations. It also involved the state with their 103 million acres, and they had a time limit. And they did not really live up, they had got an extension on their limit, but we met all of our criteria within the act. There are many other stumbling blocks that we're going to run across within the Land Claims Settlement Act yet that we foresee some of it, but some of the stumbling blocks are going to be there, and it's a hard road in which that we are climbing. There are many things that I've seen by attending meetings, being on certain boards, and it's an education. For one thing, we were thrown into a world that was different than what we have been used to. All of a sudden, we became a corporation, and this was by law. And a lot of us didn't have the chance in which to vote to say if we wanted this or not, but we got it. Whether that's good or bad, time will determine. And it's going to determine on most of us here in which to work together. And this not only includes natives, this includes the non-natives and so forth. This is our state, and we can make it a good and better state by working together, not by dividing among ourselves and all the different rumors and different other things that are going around. And it's just more of a division. I think that we need more unity than that. We don't need that type of division. We've seen too much of it already. When little kids are growing up, you don't see hardly any discrimination what race they are or so forth until they start getting older. And we say education is something that we need. I don't know, it seems like the older they get, that's what they learn. The land claims was a foundation for us to build, to start with. We formed our corporations. We started looking and we started seeing how we should invest our money, what we should invest in. We looked to see what possibilities of educating our youth.
Well, it's going to be here in a few years. We got kids in school right now. This is not 13 years, 3 years. You're not going to have a kid in school that's a shareholder of any corporation that's going to high school or grade school. Because everybody that's born in 1971 is going to be a graduate of high school. So the interest of educating our kids is not going to be there in these schools. It's got to come from out here. But if we keep, if it was up to us today, and they talk about let's go back to Congress and amend the Alaska Native Land Claims Act, but there's a lot of what you call sharks in Washington, D.C., called senators and congressmen. They like to see the Native land claims come up again.
To do away with your sovereignty, to do away with your subsistence rights. If we open the worms, the can of worms called the Native Land Claims Act, any senator and any congressman can make a proposal. And put an amendment in there of their own to do these things.
That's the danger of going back to Congress to amend the Alaskan Native Land Claims Act. It was up to me today as individual. I would give up my Native Land Claims Act today, but to keep my sovereignty. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan.
You can check it, and what's that case? Sinarachilta Green Heat get here to Dina go country, Jitti, De Gohencha, it took just at the Gohencha, Gwenata, Nesit Ginti, Ginchik Trasi. In any heat I could unhe, Tanjan I Orki, Sitsu Sarah, Sig April, Nay Kotolki. Kuji riha kinta reta kuji. I did have it a watch a kinna. Kotrechuk desa. The quick edit Nisi Tegurich e Nisagurich e. Yenta de Gwech aga quinta qua. Kuji chikurig inta reta. I kuji kunat a wisdom drahna. I was done, I just do it in that great in do it in that current day. That at Hotel Ezeka Begrin, he proverbs it. Kuji re Golga and Dan Zirahna. I thought G Corporation Katrilki, Nuenjit Azgra in Nuenjiku Katrilki. They go in that suck. We took just that to go here, that's that. Nahuan, Nuhenji to go in. Chancha, took think in a jit in a night. Yenta think in a china yenjit. Could I a tande go here? Green he winsy ka, green he da jitty, green he ka, green da quadet quizu. Meeting draft sick that hit a Genjit say initially. Jit Anjaji suck hick in that support at sea. Jadin in Jadina, Jadin in that in that slashes show at season. It didn't you give hikwa. It didn't you tati nakwa. Could get yena quake educate than din in jitjatigaya go quake is a red dot degree in. And just agreeing. Is it there?
The lady told me to translate it for the record and for people that can't understand their own language. Well, anyway, when I approached the mic, I said that we are working for you people, you grant, you older generation people, the younger generation people. I stress wisdom because wisdom is where it's coming from, wisdom to know the future, to recognize, to deal with the foreseeable issues that are coming our way, facing us as a corporation, as a people, as afterborns, pre and beyond 1971, the future. In the book of Proverbs of the Bible, it says to get onto wisdom, grasp wisdom, hold on to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, you have a we have a portable microphone that Mary can take around, and some of the folks would like to speak from their seats, especially those near the back, so we can do that if you would like.
On down to today, this young generation. For the young generation, for this thing going on here, why, she would like to have everything going on forward, as the old timer has done for us, for our we generation at the time, we were kids. But our generation, our younger generation today, they're the one that's going to get the benefit of it. So this is the way she expressed it. That's how she put out the expression of it. So it's just the way it sounds to me. It's not sound to me, but I hear it clearly. This is my language. Now, for myself, I would like to say a little thing about 1991. My dear friend, it's for our young generation. They're facing something hard in the future. Now, when we approach this young generation, these young children will approach 1991. No doubt. Some of them will not, maybe. To me, accident happened. Not a lot of things going on. We couldn't have very well put expression in it to out sound clearly. But I tell you, this is my idea, what I think about it, is we've got to have an answer for 1991. We got to answer that question. Now, we're facing something hard. As we hear about this down lower state, there's millions and thousands of these people. They're going to swarm in after 1991 if we sell our share of the land claim. If we sell our share, you know what's going to come up. We won't even have a place to go fishing. That's a hard proposition to face. So we got to prepare ourselves for our young generation. Give them a lot of wisdom. Give them a lot of advice. This is the way this is my idea.
And there's a lot of your young generation here, young people here, got very good mind, good memory. So look into it and study it. See? This is the way to look at it. But if you share, you sell your share, that's it. That's the end of the road. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Could we have your name, just for the record?
Pardon me?
Your name, just for the record?
My name is Elliot Johnson, Sr. Living in Fort Yukon all the rest of my life.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Thank you very much.
I think there's one thing that Martha also mentioned was that the fact that it has been established long time ago by our forefathers that the land is, we are the ownership of the land, and it has been carried on that way, and to maintain it that way.
Yukon, Alaska. One thing that always concerned me most was, like myself as a young person, and I'm sure that there's a lot of other young people here that don't understand too much about what's going to happen in 1991, and that's one of the concerns that I have is the land and everything. What's going to happen to that, and what's going to be the future for these younger people when they get, you know, of age and so forth? What are they going to be able to do if this land is gone, and if it's not theirs, if they don't have their right to it, what's going to happen to them? So that's my concern and everything, and I believe that this land has, like Martha says, been our forefathers for generations and generations, and and I don't think it's right that if anybody would just try to come in and say, since 1991 is a big issue, we should make, you know, these things known. But, you know, education is one of the main things that these kids need to know about the land and how they're going to benefit by it. So, you know, it's one of my concerns.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Alexander.
In the state law, usually among your husband or your children, I don't think they would be tied up for 10 years, but it's certainly better to make a will.
I'm taking this Alaska Native Land Claim course through it here in town, and one of our students, this is through audio conference, our instructor is Fred Bigjim, and one of the questions that keep coming up over and over was that, what right did Russia have to sell Alaska to begin with? Who gave them the right?
Well, the countries of Europe, I mean, you might as well say, who gave Christopher Columbus the right to acquire America? The Europeans had the means of crossing the Atlantic, and mm-hmm. the Russians had the means of crossing the North Pacific, the Bering Straits, and they worked out a theory. And their theory, and this is the theory on which the occupation of North America and South America by Europeans is founded. And the theory is that if a European vessel, Spanish, British, Russian, is sailing along the coast of North America and discovers land, that land belongs to the Europeans because they discovered it. Now, that's the theory. Now, you can say, hey, but wait a minute, there were millions of people, native people, living there for a long, long time before Columbus and before the Russians. But the Europeans acquired the land, they occupied it, they colonized it, and if you go to law school and you say to your law professor, hey, what right did Russia have to acquire Alaska and then to sell it to the Americans? What right did the Spanish have to Mexico and Peru? The law professor will say, because they discovered it. I mean, it's that simple, and that's the theory of international law, that if the Europeans discover a country, even if it's already been discovered by other people thousands of years before, it's theirs. Now, that's the way they justify what happened almost 500 years ago, because, of course, there's another year that is coming up that's pretty important. That's not just 1991, that's 1992. Because that's the 500th anniversary of Columbus coming in sight of the of America, 1492.
But,
well, your questions
wanted,
are...
I wanted... Well, he went on and on about it, but there's 75 students taking this course, but he two audio conference, and this one student kept using that as a stumbling block.
Well, it's a good question.
It just seems to end there and hold up the class when I think it's more important things, because ANCSA is pretty complicated.
But I can tell you that international law has now changed, and in the 1970s, the International Court of Justice, the World Court at The Hague, decided that the theory of discovery no longer applied. That is, Europeans couldn't take land just because they claim to have discovered it. If native people are living there, it's their land. And that was a case involving the Western Sahara, part of the Sahara Desert. But that happened in 1975, I think, and it's a little late to well, we're learning about international law. It's easier to understand in some ways than ANCSA.
Is this question and answer time?
If you like. What do you want to say? Come sit down and use it on me.
Oh, thank you.
She's pointing that ray gun at you.
Well, since you were in the subject about Columbus discovering America, the white man came to America from, you know, across the ocean, in the name of God, freedom, pursuit of happiness, and they formed the 13 colonies. And I don't know, while they were writing the Constitution, they might have owned some slaves.
We call it Shoal, but right now the white man shows it as Alexander Village. So to me, it's very interesting, because when we talk about land, as far as land is concerned, we're only talking about this little section right here. We're not talking about Yukon Flats. You have to realize that. You're only talking about 7 townships. Over our neighbors, they got 3 townships. Across here, They got one township, I think. I don't know what circles got. But in between, there's a big space. And this at this time, when the IRA council, at that time, during these times, they went to Fort Yukon and had their meetings. And when they did have their meetings, this was kind of a border. And at that time, around 1947, they asked people, would you like to have a reservation? Well, interpretation of a reservation at the time was a fence. Because my parents came home and said, boy, you know what they were talking about? They said they want to build a fence around us. So that was an interpretation at the time. But anyway, I just want to share this with you because as far as I'm always, I guess I am in the position to speak for the IRA council. And there's a... As far as strategies are concerned, we... throw this dry. We even consider taking seven township over under the 14C3, if it's possible. Because under 14C3, I think it states that any group, or I don't know what the really the law has, how it's written, but it's rare. And where there, we do have the right, because it's law, and it says that we could do that. And from that, that's one way that we can think about saving our land. There are other people that are corporate minded, and a corporate being corporate minded is fine. Sure, we are responsible to each other. But when we talk about, there are some here are talking about money, and there are some here that are talking about land, and I'm talking about land. We have, and I feel sorry for the ones that are around us because they don't have the economic basis. We don't have economic basis. We don't have any economic basis whatsoever. If it wasn't for the monies that are coming in from the state government, federal government, our community will be in a bad shape. And the monies that are coming in are not forever going to be coming in. Because the way it is right now, we hear every day that the funds are going down as far as the oil revenue is concerned. So that means that we have to develop some sort of a base. And we do not have that base. We do not have the resource. The resource that we have is timber, as far as we know, because we do not have the right to subsurface right. We only have surface. And lucky we're even getting a little kickback from the gravel. And as far as losing your stocks or shares, there are ways that it's happening that maybe you don't realize. When you get a credit from somebody, that's a form of losing your stocks. If somebody ever says, hey, 1991 comes around, you got a credit and you don't pay it up, they can put a lien on your stock. At least that's the way my understanding is. I don't know if this is true or not, but this is the way I believe it. And seems like I'm going backwards, but I'll tell you about this valley right here. We fought for that valley. Our forefathers fought for it. As far as Indian War is concerned, we have all kinds of legends dealing with Indian Wars. We have, oh man, I can get into that because I used to hear a lot of them when I was young kid, because during those days, it's just like what the kids like now is that they like Donald Duck or whatever it is, that kind of story. You tell them stories like that, they listen to it. But at that time, we used to listen to stories that were being told to us and the legends that are true.
And I'm glad that my friend Solomon brought up that the deal about being dry in Fort Yukon. I think that you have to understand that the state of Alaska consumes more alcohol than any other state in the Union. And that means that we only have about 500,000 people, and there's about millions in some states, and we drink more than they do. And that's the weakness. And that weakness right there will get, that's the weakness that 50% of Fort Yukon would sell out. There are rumors in Fort Yukon right now, and those rumors that are being passed around by certain individuals are not present in this meeting today because they do not feel that they're part of the Native organization or Native corporation, and they in turn feel that they can sell their stock anytime they want. But drug abuse, alcohol, whichever, any way you look at it, you pop it, pills, any smoke it, and sooner or later it's going to get to us. My only strategy for the whole land conveyance, as far as I can see, as far as the history of American Indians is concerned, about a month and a half ago I was in Spokane, and at that where the National Congress of American Indians, okay, the state of Washington had an initiative 456. The 456 has something to do with resource. The white men there want your resource. They put it on initiative in such a way that the interpretation would not be recognized, but if it does pass, then that means you jeopardize all the resource within that state. And if that take precedence in that state, then that would have meant that it would have kicked off to another state, and it would have got going, and it would have affected us up here. And it's still, that initiative is also being carried on to some other places where the signatures are being accumulated so that it can be put on the ballot and so that it can start over again. And this continuous battle is going to continue forever. Ain't no doubt about that in my mind. The only strategy I have, or the ones I heard down there, was they said, Hey, brother, maybe we should all learn how to speak Spanish, because there are millions of Spanish speaking people that are native Indians, more than white.
Thank you.
Well, my thanks to Clarence Alexander for displaying on the map the traditional hunting areas of the people of Yukon Flats. Anybody else like to speak before we adjourn?